Good morning, church.
Morning.
Our scripture reading this morning will be out of the NIV. I'll be reading Luke 24, 1 through 2. That's Luke 24, 1 through 2. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that reading. Welcome. If you're a visitor, we're glad to have you. Hope you'll come back at any time you can. We are blessed by God to be alive at this time in history again. If you have questions about what we do or why we do it or why we don't do something, please ask the person who brought you or ask one of us. We're glad to give you a Bible answer if we can. We love to have many people here. We have several out of town in Tucson. Please pray for their safe return. We went several days to LTC. Great to have them back after COVID shutdown. There's some of the artwork in the foyer and also the bulletin board down the hall. Please take some time and look at that. Our kids did very well in Bible Bowl, and we are blessed by God. We had a baptism last week, and someone asked me if that was one of the pastors here. No, that's just a member. We're trying to have, as the scriptures teach, the priesthood of all believers. We want every member to understand, be able to teach, and share the word of God. We are not encouraging, or we don't, let me say it positively, do not accept what I say, what some man says. Don't let anybody browbeat you into believing something. Read your Bible for yourself. Take what you hear here and run it through your Bible. Imagine the truth, which is true, that Jesus Christ lived and gave his life. Now, going to give his life as a ransom from the world, it just makes sense that he would say something about that. It just makes sense that he would make it clear how one would appropriate the blood he's going to shed. If you're going to die for the world, wouldn't you make it clear how to get access to that blood? And that's what your Bible and my Bible will teach us. Again, as we have several things, we are blessed to see in our next first slide. Let's start with that. On the back table, here's a handout. Maybe you've first time at church, know nothing about God. Here's a handout. I encourage you to take this and look at your Bible. Look at what the verses say that Jesus said, how one gets into Christ, what one needs to do to be brought into union with Jesus Christ. We were, as I recall, and I'll ask my wife, I might forget, we were at Charlotte's baptism. And Larry asked me a question. I didn't understand it. Sam Stout translated it for me. He said, how much do you charge? Oh, okay. I said, we don't charge to baptize. Well, my support is given our needs from the congregation. But I found out later that there are churches that charge to baptize. I enjoy our next slide, which is Kiev, Ukraine. This is in the 6th century A.D. where he was out in the river baptizing. And they put this statue up, and again, the Dnieper River here. In the Ethiopian eunuch, they said, stop the chariot, and they both bent down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. If a person gets into Christ by accepting Christ into their heart, there's no need to stop the chariot. If a person is saved by just saying or reciting the sinner's prayer, there's no need to stop and get out of the chariot. Look at the Bible, and again, I don't want to be ugly, but I want to be clear. What does the Bible say? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Good people who care about their children, bring them to be baptized. But if we would take and stop, get a couple of big guys, and stop traffic on Alma School, and pull people out of their cars and bring them in here, would you have a Christian and baptize them? No. You'd have a wet, angry driver, but you wouldn't have a Christian. You must personally surrender your heart, and you must have faith to come to Christ. Again, I don't want to be rude, but what's the difference in that and infant baptism? Good people caring about their children. But the child, each person must believe and be baptized, as Jesus says. Now, to make that a little clearer, our next slide is a diagram of participation in the baptism of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We die to sin, we're buried in water, we're raised to walk in newness of life. I didn't think of this. God, this is God's plan. This is from Scripture. We participate in the communion in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and in baptism. Participate, we are brought into union with Christ, which is amazing. All the pagan gods, all the fake gods, you know, you bring them food, a Buddha doesn't eat it. You know, all those idols don't eat it. But the living God wants a relationship with us and wants to live inside us. Now, there in that context, you know, I lost faith in the CDC a long time ago. They put on their website, it's still there, it is wrong to eat cookie dough raw. You know, don't listen to that. That's not right. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. But the big question is, who are you going to turn to know how to live, what to do, how to live your life? Sometimes we look at movies or TV or someone famous, and we say, well, that's how you should be a man, and that's how you should be a woman. And we all have idols, I suppose. But let's be very careful the lessons we draw from other people. For we should need to look at Christ and go to his God and his word about life, not the government. Not just a preacher, we're here to lift up Christ, but Christ and his words and the word of God. Now, maybe taking the culture, trying to make a little fun, you know, boy likes girl, and you've seen the ad, you know, he loves her, he went to Jarrett. Well, I have a little take on that on our next slide. He loves her so much, he went to Exxon. That one seemed to have taken off like a rocket. I don't know, if you've been in the gas pump, you can understand. It's just a little fun. And our next slide, I don't know about your life, but this is true for mine. God's plan is never like my plan. You know, and we think our days will be smooth and easy, but it's not like that at all. And the subject of today, and the truth of today, even in the apostles' lives, they thought they had it all figured out. We're going to start up an army, we're going to kick Rome out, and we're going to rule the world. That was not God's plan. It was not an accident, as some people teach, that Jesus died and went to a cross. And the church was plan B. It was always God's plan for Jesus to come and die on a cross. It was predicted in prophecies. It is the key to the Bible. God's plan from before the world was created. He knew he was going to have to send Jesus to the cross, and he made Adam and Eve anyway. That says something. He knew before the creation of the world that you and I would live at this time in history and we would need a Savior. And he sent a Christ, his Son, to die for your sins and for mine. Again, if you're a parent, we could look at our next slide and come to understand the truth. How much you love your kids. They don't really understand all that. But we do love them. And that's just a little bit of what God feels about you as his son or his daughter. And that's what the cross is all about. He wants a relationship with us, and we are the ones who've sinned against him, but he provides a way and makes the payment to pay for our sins. God loves us. And the scripture says in our next slide in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye has not seen, or ear heard, or mind conceived of what God has prepared for those who love him. I cannot find the words, and scripture doesn't give us all the words, of what God has prepared for us. Now we understand. We're sinners. We're less than perfect. We fail. But God loves us, and so that's why he's provided payment for our sins. We call it Black Friday in our slide because it is a black day. We know what happened. It was a sad day. But the saddest day in history is separated by the greatest day in history by 3 days. But it is eternal benefits that we call Good Friday because now we know what happened. Now we know the benefits that come from Jesus dying. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. I have a question for you today. What's really important? Really important. I told you the story. I told you some of the story. I'll tell you more of the story. Karen and I took two of our kids to Florida, two of our grandkids. As I recall, Karen was asleep. I told you last time that one of them is trying to get him to calm down. Look, we're going to be up early. We're going to be all day. You need to go to sleep. You know, kids 10 years old, they were excited. And I said, look, you know, you're good kids. And I told you before, the shocked look on my grandson's face. Good? Yeah, yeah. You're a good kid. I wouldn't breathe if you weren't a good kid. Now, the part I didn't tell you was this. I told him, look, I love you. Your grandmother kind of likes you, but I love you. And that's the truth of Scripture. God knows that we're not perfect, sinless, faultless. He knows our sins, and He loves us. It's important to get those two in order. He knows everything about us and loves us. It knows that sin has to be taken care of, has to be paid for, and that's what the cross is all about. God not saying, well, we'll just forget about it. We won't worry about it. It's okay. No, God said, I'm going to pay for every sin of mine and yours. It's going to be paid with the death of my son. What if you were a foreign country? You're arrested for being a Christian. And you're supposed to defend yourself and say, okay. And they ask you, okay, you're a Christian. What makes your religion so unique? So, well, we have the Bible. And it's the Word of God. And they must say, well, other religions have other books. Okay. Well, we have this man named Jesus. And the prosecutor would say, well, other religions have their religious leaders. You say, well, Jesus had miraculous power. He went around doing good, performing miracles as well. Other people claim to have miraculous powers. Well, he was the Son of God, and he died on a cross. Well, other religious leaders have died for their cause. Well, our religious leader died on a cross, and the Father in heaven raised him from the dead. No other religion in the world could claim that. The true and the living God brought his son out of the grave to say, this one is my son, and this one is true. And it's the testimony of the Father that this is my son. In fact, in Acts, we see Paul on trial just for that. He goes before chapter 23, the commander of the Roman troops in Jerusalem. Chapter 24, Felix, the governor. Chapter 25, Festus, the new governor. And chapter 26, King Agrippa. And Paul, what does he say on each occasion? He speaks about the resurrection of the dead. And this cornerstone of our faith is based on the truth of Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, because he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what makes Jesus different from any other religious leader. He has come from the grave as the firstborn from the dead. Not the only one to be raised from the dead, but the first one to be raised from the dead, never to die again. And not the only one that's going to be raised from the grave, never to die again. He's just the firstborn, the first one that's going to come out of the grave and never die again. And every person here will be raised from the dead, if you're not alive when Jesus comes, never to die again. You will live forever, and I will live forever. And it's an amazing truth, but the Bible teaches it's true. This is Paul's message. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And he gave proof of that by raising his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. In Acts 26:8, Paul preaches to Agrippa and said, why should you consider it amazing that God would raise the dead? Death has always been a mystery for us. We wonder about it. That's why we fear it. But we like to think it's not the end. Some think, well, we can't know for sure. A rancher set out with an unusual request. He knew the funeral director. He talked to the funeral director. He said, now, when I die, I'd like to be buried with my truck. The funeral director thought that was strange, but he wrote a big enough check and said, okay, I'll take care of that. Why? Well, I've never seen a hole that my truck can't get me out of. Well, there's one hole his truck did not get him out of. We can appreciate that. That's with a little too much faith in a truck. Life is beautiful. It's rich. It's wonderful. Only a deeply troubled person wants to die. We all want to live. Several years ago, newspapers carried a story about a small town hospital that received a bomb threat. Officials decided they needed to take things seriously and get all the patients out. One lady went into surgery. And while she's in the surgery, the bomb threat comes in. And so they were doing a shortage on space. So they took some of the patients to the local funeral home. The lady who was in surgery wakes up and she's in the funeral home. She made some assumptions there. So they were wrong. They had to explain it to her about her surroundings. She was concerned. But each of us will face a day when our life will be over. Why live the Christian life? Why be humble, pure in heart? Why repent? Why confess? Why be baptized? Why to be faithful to God? Why to confess when we've done wrong? Confession is just, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Confession is being honest with God and ourself. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Why be self-sacrificing? Why give to God? They found a missionary's Bible in South America who gave his life in the service to God. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot hold on to take hold of that which he cannot lose. Think about that. He gave his life. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot hold on to take hold of that which he cannot lose. And that's the next life. That's eternal life and life with God. Life here is great, but it doesn't compare with life with God in the next world. We live in a time of pandemic and war in Ukraine. We've said several times our life can change in a moment, including the day we die. Christina Fordera in Louisville, Kentucky, wrote an interesting article in the Reader's Digest. She talked about her husband, who was Sam, and he was an electrician. He's up wiring in the Catholic Church there, and the confessionals needed some wiring and all the different lights and stuff. And so she came out to the audience, the assembly there, and Sam was up in the ceiling rewiring things. And so he's balancing on the rafters. She's concerned about her husband's safety, worried about if he's going to fall. And unbeknown to all the people in the congregation that day, she's there worrying, and she says, Sam, are you up there? They really got a charge when Sam said, yes, I'm up here. I'm doing very well. Here in this context, the prophet said in Acts 26, 22 to 23, they predicted that Jesus would rise from the dead. It's the prophetic argument that it's true. In Acts 26, 22, Paul says to Agrippa, I am saying nothing that is beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people, to the Gentiles. The first gospel sermon in Acts 2, the people who put Jesus on the cross were given the opportunity to be forgiven because they had put Jesus, the Son of God, to death. In Acts 2, Peter quotes from Psalm 16, talking about Jesus. You will not abandon me to the grave or let your Holy One see decay. In Acts, Paul drives this point home to King Agrippa. Do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Agrippa was one of the ruling families of the Herods. He knew the Old Testament. His family had ruled. He was the last of Herods to come in contact with Jesus or his followers. His great-grandfather was Herod the Great, who feared the birth of Christ and ordered all the babies to be killed in the area of Bethlehem. His great-uncle was Herod Antipas. He was the one who murdered John the Baptist and the first to interview Jesus on his trial. And his father, Agrippa I, was a ruler who executed James the Apostle and put Peter in prison. He actually died a horrible death in Acts where he gave a speech and failed to give the glory to God, and God slew him in Acts 12. This king knew the prophets, but this king did not obey, as far as we can tell. It was Easter Sunday, 1973, in Uganda. It was still under the control of the dictator Idi Amin. And in that context, people were being persecuted and suffering. Do you remember what I asked you at the start? What's really important? This preacher got up to preach in Uganda, talked about the resurrection of the dead. Some soldiers came in to arrest him and to kill him. He said, I'm a dead man, but let me at least pray for you. And he asked for God to forgive them and bless them. He said, I'm ready to die, but they're not, dear God. And as he finished his prayer, the men put their guns down. And you prayed for us, cared about us. We're not going to kill you. If our life were going to end that fast, would you be ready to die? Would you be ready to meet Jesus today, right now, if all of a sudden some crazy guy came in here? You see, we put things off. We're going to go, we're going to get right. We're going to be baptized. We're going to do this someday. If we're not careful, we'll miss out. The fact that Jesus Christ did in fact rise from the dead, came out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, changes everything. The resurrection demands a personal response. You can't ignore it. You can't overlook it. It's not a matter of opinion, but a matter of obedience. God came to deliver us from sin and deliver us from death. He conquers both because we can't beat sin and we can't beat death. The Bible is filled with stories of people and divine deliverance. God delivers Lot from Sodom. God delivers Joseph from prison. God delivers Israel out of Egypt. God delivers Elijah from Jezebel. God delivers David from Saul. God delivers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. God delivers Daniel from the lion's den. God delivers Peter from prison. God wants to deliver you and I from our sins. And his plan is the cross of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the victory over death. You've done very well, but remember where we started? What's really important? Not what you're going to have for lunch. Not what you're worried about right now, but where you and I will live forever. Have you prepared for the day which we will stand before Jesus Christ himself and hear one of two verdicts? Well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. What will happen on that day is determined by what we do here and now. Learn from the lesson of others and get ready while you have time and opportunity. We saw one last week come and be baptized, and one was restored early in the week. If you're not right with God, the resurrection of Christ and the death of Christ is so that you can be forgiven of your sins. If you need to come publicly, why don't you?